How much time do you spend outdoors just looking around and observing the earth? The great value of studying creation is that it gives us a greater understanding of and appreciation for our Creator. It reveals God's power, His providence, and His goodness. It humbles us as we grasp our place in His creation. And it also rebukes our elevated views of ourselves. God wanted Job to understand all of this, and Stephen's looking at that in a lesson called Water, Earth, and Sky.
Well, God has finally arrived on the scene to speak to Job, and you can imagine that there will be a lot of things Job wants to say to God. But what we're going to discover instead is that God has a lot to say to Job. In fact, beginning in chapter 38, we find the longest speech delivered by God, recorded in all the Bible. And while Job thinks he's going to, pepper God with questions, God begins to pepper Job with questions, 77 questions in all. So instead of answering questions about, why bad things happen to good people or why good things happen to bad people, God asks the questions, questions that are designed to reveal His power over everything. Let's begin with questions God asks Job about planet Earth. They begin here in chapter 38 and verse 4. Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? God is using the language here of an architect and a builder. A building site is surveyed. It's measured for the exact placement of the foundation. God is effectively asking, Job, did you need to check my blueprints when I designed planet Earth? Then down here in verse 18, God asks, have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? In other words, Job, do you know how big this planet is? Well, Job didn't know what we know today about the earth. We now know it has 57 million square miles of land surface. It has 139 million square miles of water surface, and its circumference is 24,902 miles. You don't have to remember any of that for the quiz. I had to look it all up. Now, I have to admit, I was never really interested in physics as a kid in school. I was interested in phys ed, not physics. But God has a question for Job that relates to this. These are tough scientific questions. He now asks him about the oceans of the world. Here's a lengthy question that begins here in verse 8. Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. God says, Job, who instituted all of the necessary systems to create predictable and profitable high tides and low tides? We know today that ocean tides are caused by the moon's gravitational pull. As the moon orbits the earth, it causes the earth to bulge out on the side facing the moon. This causes the tides to lower and to rise. Without the moon, life would not flourish on earth. Without the moon, the Earth's axis would begin to wobble. The stability of Earth's climate would be lost. Our ocean tides would reduce dramatically and water would stagnate. The scientific world knows this. It has spent billions of dollars trying to figure out how the moon evolved. Well, the record of Genesis chapter 1 tells us the moon didn't evolve, that God created it on the fourth day, and is it ever needed for life on earth? Isaiah the prophet tells us that God formed the earth to be inhabited, Isaiah 45, verse 18. In other words, we're living on a designer-made planet. It is perfectly created for life on earth. Well, now God moves on to ask Job here in verse 12, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? In other words, Jobari, are you in charge of creating a brand new day? Do you control the movement of the sun in the sky? Well, today we understand how God designed the rotation of the earth to create nighttime and daytime in just the right amounts. I mean, just imagine how different life would be on earth if we rotated at one-third our current speed. One day would be three times as long. I mean, how many moms of two-year-olds would survive that? Now, again, God isn't trying to stump Job. He's revealing to Job that he not only created water, earth, and sky, but that he also controls water, earth, and sky. Here in verse 22, God asks Job, "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble?" Now, God could be referring here to one of the 10 plagues when he would send hailstones on the land of Egypt in Exodus chapter 9. Or he could be referring to the judgment during the end times tribulation when, as the Apostle John writes, that great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people and they cursed God for the plague of the hail. That's in Revelation chapter 16. God is saying, "Job, do you know my plans for the future? Do you know what I've reserved in nature for the future?" Then God over here in verse 25 moves on to talk about rainfall. He says that he created the thunderbolt, that is lightning, to bring rain on the land. Now get this, God is delivering information to Job that people will not understand for centuries. One scientist writes that we now know complex forces generate this electrical field that produces lightning discharges, and these violent electrical currents cause the small water droplets to bind together with others to form larger drops. Finally, this remarkable series of events delivers the rain to the thirsty ground. Imagine that. God just told Job here in verse 25 that he created the lightning bolt to send the rain. By the way, it isn't a coincidence that God is describing for Job his creation and control over storms and lightning. Let me remind you again, it was lightning, fire from heaven, that killed Job's sheep. It was a windstorm that caused the deaths of his children. God is indicating that these tragedies aren't accidents of nature. They're actually guided by the nature of God for his rather mysterious purposes. Now, there's one more stop along this creation tour that I want to point out. God shows Job essentially the stars, and he asks him here in verse 31, "Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Mazzarah, that is the constellations, in their season? Or can you guide the bear, that's the Big Dipper, with its children?" By the way, some point out here that Pleiades is the constellation that belongs to the spring, and Orion belongs to the winter. So God might have been saying it this way, "Look up, Job, look at those constellations. Can you manage them? Can you bring springtime? Can you bring about wintertime?" And obviously Job is going to have to answer, "No." See, God has not lost control of nature. He's the creator of nature. And this, beloved, this points to something deeper. It points to God's nature, his creative power, his control over water, earth, and sky. Those today who believe that we're accidents, that the earth is an accident, that we just got lucky enough to live, you know, at this particular place in the solar system, they cannot begin to answer the deeper questions like, where did we come from? Where are we going? And do we even matter? Oh, let me tell you, the Creator God who spoke the stars and planets into being by the word of his mouth, Psalm 33, verse 6, our Creator God designed you and planned for you to be alive today. And because of his gift of salvation, you can belong to him today. You can have your sins forgiven. You can talk to him. You can serve him. The Bible says one day beyond this life, you're going to be able to go and live with him where you will enjoy a newly created universe. That's how much you matter to God. See, Job is getting the deepest answer possible here. God is telling him, Job, this is how much you matter to me. Well, until our next journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson, Stephen, entitled Water, Earth, and Sky, here on the Wisdom Journey. If you'd like to dive deeper into God's creation, Stephen has a book called In Living Color. He explores the wonders of God's creation in each chapter. It's a beautifully illustrated book that you can find in our online store. Visit wisdomonline.org and visit our store to find In Living Color. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.